Right, I have with me now Milton Jones. Welcome to the show.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, good, not too bad at all.
Fabulous. Now, we've heard of the Dog Whisperer, and I've even had a Guitar Whisperer on the show, but you're touring under the name of Lion Whisperer. Why is that?
Yes, well, people ask me why it's called that, and to be honest, it's only because they phoned me up one day and said, we're going to press with the poster this afternoon, what's your title? So I had a quick look down at the piece of paper that was on my desk, and the joke I was writing at the time was called Lion Whisperer. So it is actually only one of the jokes in the tour. So given that there are literally hundreds of jokes in each show, it's not particularly representative of the show as a whole.
Oh, it's just a start before you get into full roar.
Yes.
Everyone needs a little bit of silly in their life, and you have a whole bag of silly surrealism at your disposal, as well as lots of puns and one-liners. What is it about this style of comedy that appeals to you?
I think inevitably you try and write what you think would be funny, you know, the sort of thing that you would laugh at, and once you get known for doing one thing in particular, people come to you for the same. It's quite hard to break out of it. I think I started one-liners because I was so terrified I needed to get to the end of the sentence as quickly as possible, and that's what you end up with, a one-liner, if that's what you try and do. So you know, sometimes people say to me, what's the show about? And I say, well, you won't learn anything at all. It's just going to be stupid, stupid, stupid from beginning to end. And that's the kind of thing I like, really. I mean, I appreciate what other people do, but also, you know, people want to know what kind of angle you're coming from. And you do get sort of stuck in a pigeonhole, but I'm not complaining. It's served me well.
Now, of course, people listening in involved in the entertainment profession know that newcomer doesn't always mean fresh off the street, and presumably when you won the Perrier Best Newcomer in 1996, you've been on the circuit for some time. Did you ever feel you were going round and round and wanted to get off?
Well, I think, sometimes you do, and you fear that you might be deluding yourself that you're any good, but there is something about the art form of stand-up in that if they're not laughing, you won't get booked. And there's something very honest about all that. And, from time to time, even since the newcomer thing, I thought, shall I keep going with this? I don't seem to be going anywhere. And then all of a sudden you come out of the wilderness and something happens and it kicks off. So I think the thing is and a bit like a football manager, you've just got to play the next game as hard as you can and see what happens. And some of it's luck and some of it, but the more you practice, the more lucky you get.
That's right. Practice makes perfect, as they always say.
Yeah. And also, I mean, those early years are difficult in that it's a bit like learning a musical instrument, except you do all your practice in public. So you've got to develop a really thick skin in order to find your own voice, because the only way you do that is to do the hours on stage. And that's a painful process, and you will be tempted to give up when you have a bad gig, but you've got to keep going.
Yeah, that's a good analogy with the musical instruments. I suppose unless you're Jim Tavare, who actually brings his double bass on stage with him. Did you find a turning point when you assumed a different persona?
Yeah, I sort of gradually evolved this sticky up hair and silly shirt persona, and it helped people remember me as well. But also I found when I did a rough club or something that it gave me a few extra seconds and made me less high status and therefore less threatening. If you come on sort of middle class and slightly posh talking, they go, you better be really funny then. But if you look a bit mad, then somehow they give you a bit more time.
Looks like you've been in a fight with some of the people already with your hair sticking up.
So it gives them
a sense of
and it gives you a bit of a signpost from where the material's coming from as well.
Yeah, no, it's good. The life of a comedian can certainly be a precarious one, as you've said. And I believe you've likened it to a tightrope walk that can go wrong. Can you cite any moments where you felt like you're on that tightrope and it has all gone a bit wrong?
Well, yeah, I mean, plenty. I mean, obviously I blanked most of them out, but it doesn't matter how long you've been going or how famous you might be. You know, sometimes in the next 6 months you're going to be in trouble somewhere because you've only got a fraction of a second to think about things. And the logistics that people put you into might be wrong. You know, you might be 50 feet from the audience, half of whom are Japanese. You know, I did a corporate thing for BMW before Christmas, and I was heckled by a German accent halfway before I got to the stage, which is actually quite hard to deal with because you haven't established yourself. So I just went for the one German joke that I fell into my head, and that was I used to teach English in Germany. First day I taught them everything beginning with A, second day everything beginning with B. D-Day was a bit tricky. There was a gasp because I clearly insulted one of the top brass of BMW, And then people began to laugh, but not in a sort of out loud way, but a sort of sniggering under the table way. And clearly the bloke was crestfallen and horrified. And I got away with the whole thing, but only because I, you know, blanked him out and thought, right, I'm not going to look at him or think about him. And but that was the thing that came into my head at the time, you know, and you've just got to live or die by that.
Absolutely, yeah. Controversial, if nothing else.
Yes.
You're certainly honest about the truth of being a comedian, and your book, Where Do Comedians Go When They Die? Journey of a Stand-Up, has been quoted as telling it as it really is. So here's a surreal question. Where do you think they go?
Ah, well, in the book, it's Keele University to die horribly. But, yes, the book is sort of various journeys over a career of a stand-up comedian, because we're mostly paid travellers rather than paid performers. But from time to time, comedians are forced back on their own selves, you know, to look at where they're going and what they're doing and if what they're doing is any good. And if you're a musician, people want to hear the old songs, but if you're a comedian, they don't want to hear the old jokes. So you're in a constant state of creating new stuff. And even if you have a success, that will come to an end and you'll have to start all over again. So, I mean, in a way it becomes like a drug, but it's a conveyor belt, a merry-go-round that is, you sort of want to get off, but know that if you get off, you'll probably never be able to get on again.
Yes, you don't want to fall off it either, do you?
No.
And of course, what made you actually put pen to paper?
I'd always thought that I was meeting so many interesting people and going so many weird places, I needed, it would make a good book. Although it's not technically about me, about a third of it is, and it is a kind of surrogate for me and my career. But I was able to then change the names of the characters and put in a few things that did happen, even though I've changed the names, to avoid libel and stuff.
Yes.
I just always wanted to do that because I felt it was such a weird experience that people wouldn't necessarily see if they saw you on the stage.
Yes, it's a different medium altogether, isn't it? And of course, for some comedians, their demise comes early, as they tend to die on their feet on stage. But in your time on the renowned comedy circuit, have you ever witnessed a comedian dying out there in the spotlight?
Oh, of course, yes. No, I will easily in the next few weeks as well. Sometimes you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. I mean, especially people starting out, dealing with things that they're not used to. Or Christmas is actually the hardest time, because there are lots of shows to do, but often the people haven't paid any money to go and see them. The boss has paid for it, and they're drunk. Perhaps they've been drinking since lunchtime, and now they decide to tell the boss how he should really run the company, and there's a fight in the corner and someone being sick. And, you know,
sounds delightful.
it's a grim time, but the money is better. And we usually say, I won't do that next year, but then a tax bill comes in and we end up doing it.
I love this realism.
It is that basic, unfortunately.
Yes.
Those are the hardest times. And I know in the next 6 months I will be in the wrong place at the wrong time at some point. As I say, you know, perhaps they paid a lot of money to have me, but they've forgotten to put a microphone in or something really, really basic that means it's going to be awful.
And we're roaring like a lion to get heard.
Yeah.
Now, of course, you've also been named Surreal Comic of the Year, but in life, what's been one of your, maybe particularly in comedic life, what's been one of your most surreal moments?
Well, I'm always on the lookout for jokes and things. I think a nice moment not so long ago is when I saw a traffic warden trying to get his moped out of a skip. Clearly someone had chucked it in there, and he was sort of leaning over trying to get it out, and no one would help him because of what his job was, you know, that he was Gestapo. But that's quite nice. It's quite nice when you come across those things that are not fabricated in any way, just things that happen in life.
It's like a double take, like, did that really happen?
Yeah, quite.
Now, of course, those coming to see you at the New Victoria Theatre in Woking on Sunday the 17th of April, in for a really good laugh and a great night. So, enjoy the tour.
Thanks.
You for speaking with me today.
Great, thank you.
And that was comedian Milton Jones, king of the one-liners, touring his show, The Lion Whisperer. Brooklyn's Radio.